And now we'll call upon our brother Marco to come forward to give his exhortation this morning. He's entitled his talk, The Love Letter Given to Jesus from His Father to the Church of Smyrna. Brother Marco.
Good morning, brethren. Good morning. Today, I will continue looking at the love letter to the churches which the Father gave to His Son, Jesus. We're going to look at the most amazing letter to the angel of the church of Smyrna. It is the shortest letter, and yet it is the most impactful of all the letters. Smyrna in itself was a slave city. It was also the home of a large Jewish community. It was a large Roman commercial center near the Aegean Sea. It was where the martyrdom of Polycarp, a disciple of the Apostle John, occurred. It had a temple dedicated to the Emperor Tiberius. Roman persecution was rampant, along with Jewish persecution. This letter is a balance between the kindness of the Lord Jesus and the reality of the severe persecution they were receiving. The letter begins with words of encouragement when Jesus says, "These are the words of the first and the last who was dead and came to life." The brethren in Smyrna, and I believe all faithful brethren, would have been familiar with the total message of the revelation and the many letters that were circulating among the churches from Paul, Peter, James, and John. Consider what is mentioned at the beginning of the revelation. "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and keep what is written in it, for the time is near." This blessing was also meant for those brethren living at that time, not just for us, because as we will see in this letter, it was going to be a blessing because of the message of assurance and hope that comes near the end of the letter of Revelation. The message from the first and the last is a reference to Jesus' own affliction as having suffered first all manner of persecution, both verbal and physical. Then Jesus reassures them that he was going to be the last, that is, the end of suffering. And Jesus further encourages them when he says, "Who was dead and came to life." Remember, a part of the persecution was going to be facing death. Thus, the message of hope through the words of Jesus, who conquered death through the Father raising his Son and from the dead. And then he gives them further hope and assurance that he has suffered and knows their suffering. "I know your affliction and your poverty, even though you are rich." From reading the Gospels and reading the letters, they would have been familiar with the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus reminds them that he also suffered. By knowing their affliction, it meant that he also experienced the same afflictions. They also would have known that Jesus was poor. Luke 9:58, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And Jesus also tells them this, "I know the slander on the part of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan." Here Jesus identifies the source of the affliction and the poverty. It was from those who slandered him, and also these believers in Smyrna who are a synagogue of Satan. That is, they are slanderers who claim that they are Jewish descendants but are not. Consider this dialogue that Jesus has with those who say they are Jews but are not. John chapter 8, starting verse 39. "They answered him, 'Abraham is our father.' Jesus said to them, 'If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You're indeed doing what your father does. They said to him, we're not illegitimate children. We have our one father, God himself. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. I did not come on my own, but he sent me. Why don't you understand what I say? It is because you cannot accept my word. You're from your father, the devil, and you choose to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is from God hears the words of God. The reason you do not hear them is that you're not from God. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever keeps my rule will never see death. The Jews then said, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? The prophets also died. Who do you claim to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, and he of whom you say he is our God, though you do not know him. But I know him. If I would say that I did not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your ancestor Abraham rejoiced that he might see my day. And he saw it and was glad. And then the Jews said, you're not fully 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. We have also in Romans chapter 2. Romans 17-29. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast of your relation to God and know his will and determine what it is best because you are instructed in the law, and if you are sure that you are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of children, having the law the embodiment of the knowledge and the truth, you then that teach others, will you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You that forbid adultery, do you commit adultery? You that abhor idols, do you rob temples? And you that boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if those who are uncircumcised keep the requirements of the law, will not their uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then those who are physically uncircumcised but keep the law will condemn you that have the written code and circumcision but break the law. For a person is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is true circumcision something external and physical. Rather, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and real circumcision is a matter of the heart, spiritual, not literal. Such a person receives praise not from others, but from God. And then just again to see in Deuteronomy chapter 10 that the writer to the Romans was not just picking things out of thin air. Chapter 10, verse 16. Circumcise then the foreskin of your heart and do not be stubborn any longer. Having identified the Jewish Satan, he again gives them words of comfort. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Then Jesus tells them very clearly what is going to happen to them. Beware, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. And Jesus explains that the purpose of this imprisonment was that they were going to be tested for 10 days of affliction. The fact that Jesus calls this a test would help the believer know that this was a test from God, much like the children of Israel were tested by the God of Israel. We'll take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. This entire commandment that I command you today, you must diligently observe so that you may live and increase and go in and occupy the land that the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember the long way that the Lord your God had led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, testing you to know that what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Then Jesus tells them to be faithful until death. And that meant that some of them, or all of them, were going to die. And with that final ending message, the believers would think that was the end. Yet Jesus reassures them that he will give them the crown of life. And then they are further encouraged from Jesus to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Here Jesus lets us know that this affliction was not just going to be for the church of Smyrna, but include many other churches. And Jesus gives them one last message of encouragement. He tells them that if they conquer or overcome, they will not be harmed by the second death. This is where, if the believer had been faithful and read aloud the words of the prophecy of this book, they would be blessed. And the blessing came in the knowledge of what was going to happen to the devil, Hades, and Sheol. And this message appeared near the end of the Revelation, chapter 21. Verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one who sat on it, the earth and the heaven fled from his presence, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Also, another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in them. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And all were judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not written, found written in the book of life, was thrown into the lake of fire. In conclusion, we see how Jesus, in a very merciful way, identified and delivered this very hard message of affliction unto death. The kindness that Jesus was revealed in how he interspersed messages of hope, trust, freedom from death, and love throughout the message of the harsh realities of affliction and persecution. Perhaps we can learn from the Lord Jesus on how to help people who are going through tough times, with kindness interspersed with messages of the reality of what is happening around them. It's perhaps seeking to understand what James tells us as he describes the attitude of mind and heart we need to have in order to overcome any affliction. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. And then also verse 12. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one who has stood the test will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him.